Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee, it's Wisconsin's Midday News, making stories come to life. Now, here are your hosts, Greg Matzik and Jessica Tye.
I mean, I tried my darndest to stay up for the World Series game last night, because as I was going to bed or thinking about it, I was like, it's 5-5. This will be kind of a fun game. It's eighth inning. Big things are going to happen here. We'll see who can win this game. A lot of firepower on both teams. Well, I'm kind of glad I fell asleep, because I think the game
ended like 2?
Yes, it was like 2:15. A game that started on Monday night, ended Tuesday morning with the Dodgers earning a win. And the alien Shohei Ohtani, and I mean that in the most respectful way possible, you thought what he did to the Brewers was pretty incredible. Well, he was on base 9 times in last night's game. Intentionally walked 4 times. He walked another time, hit 2 home runs, 2 doubles. Never seen anything like him, but
wow. It's
been a great World Series so far. If you can remove your Brewers hat for a minute, which is hard to do, it's been a pretty amazing World Series.
Yeah, see, and I didn't do that. Once the Brewers were out, I was out. I'm on to other things, including we've got big breaking news right now. We've got to this monster Hurricane Melissa making landfall in Jamaica, and some breaking local news as well.
It's now at noon on Wisconsin's Midday News.
Here in southeastern Wisconsin, a child is in the hospital right now after being hit by a car while walking to school this morning in Cudahy.
Dispatcher responding units, it sounds like this is going to be a vehicle versus pedestrian. The pedestrian is still in the road.
The crash happened around 8 this morning at the intersection of Ramsey and Swift. A 9-year-old was walking to J.E. Jones Elementary School and was hit. Investigators say the driver left the scene, but was later taken into custody for hit and run causing injury. The Cudahy Police Chief says the driver is an 89-year-old woman. Charges will be referred to the Milwaukee County District Attorney's Office. We're told the 9-year-old has multiple injuries and is now at Children's Hospital.
Well, number 2, Jamaica bracing for impact. Hurricane Melissa is closing in and reaching landfall.
Jamaica is bracing for the full effects of Hurricane Melissa. Now the strongest storm in the world this year. This Category 5 monster is bringing about it blinding rain, storm surge, and severe winds. Now authorities are begging everyone to stay indoors until this storm passes. All of the cleanup and rescue efforts are only going to begin once it's safe. Until then, Melissa is expected to have Jamaica in its grip for much of today.
It's Ike Ajachi of ABC. He's in Kingston. They're saying frightening power, whiteout conditions, roofs are tearing off, gusts sound like bombs going off, painful to the ears, and incredibly deafening sound. This Cat 5 storm is just inching along. This is what I find most remarkable. It's moving at a clip of 7 miles an hour. 7. It's just sitting there and spinning and spinning and spinning and packing winds of 185 miles an hour.
Yeah, we knew this could make landfall any minute, and now it has. Hurricane Melissa making landfall near New Hope, Jamaica. 185 mile per hour Category 5 storm. This is one of the strongest Atlantic hurricanes in history.
And this will engulf all of Jamaica. They're expecting upwards of 40 inches of rain just in Jamaica through Wednesday. A strict indoor shelter order is in effect until the storm is cleared. Eastern part of Cuba going to get hit as well. Up to 25 inches of rain could fall through Wednesday. And the southeast portion of the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, other smaller islands in the Caribbean, up to 10 inches of rain could fall through Wednesday night. But Jamaica bracing for the worst here.
Yeah, we'll be on top of it throughout the show. Another big story today, Amazon cutting 14,000 jobs, primarily in its corporate offices. The company's CEO says it's all due to the advancements in artificial intelligence. AI lessens the need for certain positions. Amazon execs say the workers impacted will have an opportunity to look for open roles in other areas of the company. As ABC's Rebecca Jarvis reports, other tech companies like Meta and Google also slashed jobs.
This is important to follow because tech companies are a bellwether for the broader economy. They can be. And right now, hiring is slowing for the first time since the pandemic. There are more unemployed workers than jobs available, although overall unemployment is still historically low at 4.3%.
This is one of the largest rounds of layoffs in the company's history. In a note to workers this morning, Amazon said the world is changing quickly, and this generation of AI is the most transformative technology we have seen since the internet. Mm. Kind of gave me the goosebumps.
12:12 on WTMJ. Coming up next, a recent death of a former NFL Pro Bowl player over the weekend. is opening eyes to a broken organ donor system. We'll go through it with Jim Ryan coming up in just a couple of minutes. Now at noon, sponsored by Flanners Home Entertainment. Check them out online at flanners.com. Sound advice at the best price. Just press play. Well, really sad story here from the world of the NFL. I was driving around on Sunday after my daughter's soccer game, and games were about to get going, and they broke in coverage saying that 41-year-old Nick Mangold had died due to a rare genetic kidney disorder that he had been suffering from since 2006. He was a first-round draft pick of the Jets in 2006, a multi-time Pro Bowler, one of the best offensive linemen in the NFL during the time that he played. And now he leaves a wife and four children after a social media post just 12 to 8 days before his death. Welcome in ABC's Jim Ryan. A sad story all around, Jim, but Nick Mangold kept this quiet from the masses for years and years and years, but all of a sudden he made a plea and he needed a kidney, and ultimately time ran out.
I think he knew how desperate he was becoming, Greg. And yes, consider Nick Mangold, 41 years old, pretty good health, a former pro athlete, of course, had all sorts of money, had all sorts of social media sway, lots of followers. And so when he goes on and asks for help and can't find it before he dies, imagine how the other 105,000 Americans waiting for organs feel if they don't have the money, the health, the age, and the social media sway that he had. It's a desperate situation, and people die. About 13 people die every day waiting for some sort of organ transplant.
Did he face delays or any barriers in getting on the transplant list? What do we know about his care in the weeks and months before? Was he receiving care through a major transplant center?
Well, yeah. I mean, he was on the list, and he was, waiting like everybody else was. He wasn't pushed to the top of the list. He wasn't given any special treatment at all. But his case really points out this system that is so difficult. And consider this. I mean, if you consider that the population is aging overall, demographically, we are getting older. And with that will come health issues. The older you get, the more likely your organs are to wear out. So you can only see that the list of potential recipients is getting longer every day.
Well, and I guess in the case of Mangold, this kidney disorder is diagnosed in 2006. You don't exactly get put to the top of the priority list, I'm sure, at that juncture. I mean, this is 20 years that he lived with this kidney disorder. But at some point, this became a very serious situation. It likely was from the start, but not enough to move yourself up the list.
Sure. And naturally, what people do in that situation, they go to family members. They say, would you please go undergo a tissue and blood testing? Let's see if there's some sort of a match within the family. And apparently, in his case, there was no match. Now, and that's how a lot of this is done. You hear stories very often about people who donate to their siblings or to their parents, their kids in some cases, because they were a match. But, the majority of organs are harvested from people who have died. You sign your driver's license and you agree to donate your organs, but only a fraction of the people who die in such a way that their organs can be used for donation. So the goal now is to try to convince people to give while they're living, to donate kidneys while they're still alive. A bill in Congress that was reintroduced earlier this year, it's called the End Kidney Deaths Act, EKDA, which would give people a $10,000 tax credit for 5 years, so $50,000 altogether, if they donate their kidney, not to a relative or a friend, but just out into the pool so that anybody who's a match has access to that organ.
So, Jim, in the future, could anything change that maybe we don't even need organs from other people?
Well, yes. And, it may be a moot point 100 years from now. Just recently in China, there was a major medical milestone. Doctors were reporting there. The successful transplantation of a genetically engineered pig liver into a living human. This involved a 71-year-old recipient. That person did die, but after about 6 months. So we may be on the cusp of something very big. If they can do pig livers, then maybe animal kidneys that could be harvested and then transplanted into people. So you know, things are looking up potentially. But in the meantime, we've got a lot of cases out there, more than 100,000 people who are waiting for donations of either kidneys or livers or other organs.
And they do have different programs. The National Kidney Registry facilitates swaps between incompatible donor recipient pairs and non-directed donors, and that expands the number of people who can actually receive a living donation. So there are programs in place, but you mentioned it's kind of a staggering total here, Jim, 105,000 people. Yeah. Are on that list, just waiting. And in the case of Mangold, it was a desperate situation. Just 12 days before his death, he reaches out to his community, both the Ohio State community, the New York Jets community, and says, I need your help. Nobody in my family can help me. I need your help. That this 20-year disease that I've been living with has now come to a head, and it's desperation time. I can't imagine how many people have felt that same level of desperation in their final days. It's a really sad thing to think about.
And he reached out, obviously, through social media to anybody who would listen, essentially. And unfortunately, he became one of an average of 13 people who die every day waiting for an organ transplant.
ABC's Jim Ryan. Jim, thank you for your time. We appreciate
it. Thanks, Jim.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Well, devastating Category 5 Hurricane Melissa has made landfall here in Jamaica. This is an all-encompassing hurricane. What I mean by that is the entire island of Jamaica will be engulfed by this hurricane. It's going to reshape Jamaica for years to come. It could also trigger a humanitarian disaster. Sustained winds, 185 miles an hour. There's some live cameras in Jamaica right now, Jessica, and it's like whiteout conditions, what you might experience in a blizzard driving around Wisconsin. It's unbelievable. You can hardly see anything. And it's got to be just terrifying here because you are landlocked. You can't get in your car and drive away from this thing. You're stuck. Airports are closed. No getting out. You have to literally weather the storm, and it's a devastating one.
Yeah, officials in Jamaica say many people refuse to leave. They were warning that this is not a time to be brave. Just get out. Well, now at this point, it is too late. So I worry about those who did not evacuate now that the storm has made landfall. Hurricane Melissa is just the second Atlantic storm to ever make landfall with estimated winds of 185 miles per hour. Apparently, the only other storm to do that happened before storms were officially named. So that was...
Yeah.
That was a while ago here. And we should note, too, Hurricane Melissa is already deadly because some people were killed during the preparations.
Well, the path of the hurricane, it starts as a Cat 5 in Jamaica. It should weaken a little bit by the time it gets through Jamaica. But still, you're talking about a Cat 4 hurricane striking the eastern quarter of Cuba and expected to be a Cat 3 once it passes Cuba, maybe Cat 2 by the time it reaches the Bahamas. Turks and Caicos could feel the effects of this. Not the full-on link of islands in the Bahamas, but maybe the southeastern component. But its path, it continues to be moving north and east, but at a very slow pace. Think about 185-mile-an-hour winds and a storm that is moving just 7 miles an hour. That's incredible to think about. It's just stalling over this island and should hopefully weaken here, but not until significant damage is done.
Yeah, you heard it here first at midday, the Category 5 storm making landfall near New Hope, Jamaica. And in case you're wondering, okay, what exactly the term landfall? Well, landfall occurs once at least half of the eye is over land. So that is now happening. Jamaica was already experiencing power outages hours earlier. So you can only imagine now what it's like.
So the NOAA has these hurricane hunter, basically people that go into the eye of the storm and study it. And they had to turn a plane around. And they nope, we're not doing this. They left. It was so significant. They encountered some significant turbulence. So even the professionals who are, you know, employed to try and train and learn about these things, study these things, have been turned away due to the potential impact here of the storm. So very scary situation.
That was wild. I was reading the information yesterday from NOAA. And the last, well, one of the last lines of this paragraph was, the NOAA aircraft left the storm early after experiencing severe turbulence in the southwestern eye wall.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, I don't think I've ever heard that before.
So would you describe me as an overly anxious person?
Definitely not.
Okay. Well, maybe it's because I like to incorporate Sour Patch Kids into my diet.
First they're sour. Then they're sweet.
Okay.
Sour Patch Kids. Sour, sweet, gone.
I am kind of a sucker for the sweet and sour gummy sort of candies. Like, I reach for those more than chocolate. And when I reach for a couple, I usually reach for a couple of more and then a handful more. And by the time we're done, I've spent a lot of money at Target.
I am right there with you. In fact, when we were kids, all of my siblings, and I have a lot of them, they would get chocolate in their stocking at Christmas. You know what I would get? My stepdad would specifically go out and get me Sour Patch Kids.
Okay.
I love them. I'll be 90 eating Sour Patch Kids.
Well, there is some sort of interesting link here between the effects of sour candy and managing anxiety. Is there really something to this? It's the latest social media trend, so it's got to be true, right? Well, for that, we welcome in, it's Paul Fulford. He is a healthy living expert. He has joined us before. He is joining us again. I don't know if he's got Sour Patch Kids at his side, Paul, but walk us through the calculus here.
My daughter always has Sour Patch Kids by her side. So it's not magic, but it actually is neurochemistry, right? Sour candy doesn't treat anxiety, but it can interrupt, you know, it basically can interrupt it. You know, that sharp, like, sour taste, it floods your sensory wiring and it pulls the brain out of that, like, what if loop and drops you back into the present moment. Think of it like a reset switch. It's 10 seconds to, like, breathe and reboot. It's not therapy. It's just a tool. And when you understand how to use it, it's actually surprisingly effective.
And that's kind of what I was wondering. Can sour candy really help during, say, somebody's having an anxiety attack? Or does it just offer this temporary distraction?
Well, anxiety lives in the future. Your brain is predicting threats that aren't even, like, here yet. So when you hit it with that intense jolt, like that sour candy, it hijacks the attention through the cranial nerves, especially the vagus nerve, which is a key part of the parasympathetic nervous system. So that quick hit, it pulls the activity away from the amygdala, your fear center, and it reroutes your sensory cortex. So in plain English, your taste buds override the panic software. It's the same principle behind cold plunging, deep breathing, grounding exercise. It's sensory override. You're not escaping the feeling. You're redirecting the brain's focus to the present.
Yeah, you kind of lost me at amygdala, but thanks for clarifying on that. So it's like a grounding technique then, right, Paul? So we've always seen the face that especially a child might make after they pop in a Sour Patch Kid or a Warthead or something that's just insanely sour. It's that puckery face, right? That's the moment that the mind is being shut off from anything else it was concentrating on.
Correct. You know, that quick sour hit kind of buys you a pause, a few seconds, you know, to layer in those techniques that you would use, like deep breathing, you know, straighten your posture. There's like a grounder, like grounding exercising, naming what you see, hear, feel, and smell around you. You know, combining that physical intervention with that mindful focus is a powerful reset. So, you know, Keep some sugar-free mints nearby or sugar-free sour candy if you can. Again, if we're trying to be healthy. But it does help with that comfort and that reset.
Speaking of healthy, could there be healthier sour alternatives that could work the same way? I'm thinking maybe a lime, something that just makes you go,
yes.
Ooh, and pucker?
Yes, absolutely. Lime, you know, in Milwaukee, there's tart apples, right, that you could use. Like anything that's going to give you that kind of jolt would work. You can have a lime, a lemon, something sour, grapefruit even.
Really interesting stuff here. So there is a little bit of science to this. So if you're parsing through your children's candy at home after Halloween, I'm always plucking away the sour sort of gummy stuff anyway. Does chocolate do anything? Should I be focusing any attention on chocolate for any reason, Paul?
Well, dark chocolate does have health benefits. You know, but I would say if you're looking for any alternative there's those chewy sweet tarts, you know, that's another thing, I guess, that's available. I mean, I'm definitely not condoning, you know, this could to destroy your teeth or your blood sugar levels chasing peace, right? But, you know, if the key is that sensory jolt, not the sugar rush, you know, it's biofunctional self-regulation. You know, you're using physiology to interrupt that stress spiral while your brain and body learn better patterns.
Do any health professionals actually use this? Like all of a sudden you're going in for therapy or something and somebody's like, you know, it's a little too intense. They're like, here, pop a little sour candy. And I'm not joking. I'm wondering seriously if some people might do that.
Well, I would say, I think, you know, it's never age dependent, but I would say sometimes with children that could be utilized, right? Because it's something that is simple and it's teaching them to break patterns. And you know, and that's where you learn those techniques. I mean, even for an adult, it would be something simple that you can carry around that you utilize as a tool. And it's really just making that pattern. When you start to feel those feelings of overwhelm or anxiety coming on, you've got to break it, because you'll go into a panic attack. It can manifest as tightness in the chest. So not everything, like you all mentioned in the opening, on social media is true.
Yeah.
But a lot of times there are things that are rooted in fact, right? And this is actually one of those things that it's not a cure, but it's a tool.
Good stuff. Really appreciate it, Paul Fulford, healthy living expert. Yes, the positive benefits of sour candy. Keep some throughout the year in the household. We appreciate it, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you.
I'm such a sucker for those candies, too. Like, I hunt when my kids come back from trick-or-treating. Like, we kind of sort through everything. I don't know if you ever did that when you were a kid. Just throw everything on the floor. You start trading with your friends. Like, I want this. I'll take that. I'll do this.
Oh, yeah.
Mom and Dad usually come in, and we're the arbiters of that entire process at our household. But I'm always picking away some of the sour, chewy stuff for me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I haven't been in a long time, but when you go to the movies, you get a big box of something that's way overpriced.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm going for the overpriced Sour Patch Kids, okay. Without a doubt. Those are mine.
12:45 here on WTMJ. Happy Halloween. Did you just grok yourself over there? Can you do that? You say, hey, Google yourself. Can you grok yourself now?
I did. So I grokked you, and I said, okay, well, that's pretty spot on, the first sentence. And then I just did a quick little skim, and then I thought, I wonder what it says. It is interesting because, now, I haven't read the whole thing yet, but, I mean, it is kind of spot on. Obviously, it's taking from certain areas. Like, it's taking from your bio. It makes me wonder if it takes... I don't know if it goes back to like old JS Online articles.
It could have been articles, right? About your career developing, growing up in Brookfield and getting a job here in the Milwaukee area and so on.
It is interesting though, because it says personal background, online presence, career highlights.
Well, WTMJ's Libby Collins did that.
What else should we ask?
She did that wonderful Sunday Conversations with you. Maybe you picked up a transcript of that.
Ooh, that's right. What should we ask next?
Does Grok know Gina, our producer?
Oh. He's going to be confused. What is he going to say? Does Grok know?
Enjoys coffee.
Producer Gina.
There's got to be something up that. So it is interesting. So yeah, accuracy, I guess, to be debated, but.
Wait, this is weird. Okay, this is creepy. This is really creepy. This is weird.
Talk to me.
I am not going to lie, because I legit put in what you said. I didn't say, do you know our producer? I said, does Grok know our producer Gina? So it has no last name to pull. I didn't put that in there. I just made it very generic, thinking it would be a funny response. This says, yes, now I do. Based on what I've just dug up from the WTMJ world, your producer is Gina, the talented force behind Wisconsin's Midday News with Greg Matzik and Jessica Tye.
Hey, look at that.
I am not kidding. Wow.
Gina claims to have no editing power over this.
She's a Milwaukee native who graduated from Concordia. So now I'm wondering, Gina, do you have this information somehow on LinkedIn?
Yeah, that's all on LinkedIn.
Okay.
Okay.
So it's probably pulling from LinkedIn. But still, the fact that, like...
It found that in about 4 seconds.
Yes, and I didn't even put her last name in.
Yeah.
Just jokingly, I was like, does Grok know our producer, Gina?
Interesting.
I had no idea what you were about to say right there.
Wow.
Yeah, all right. Well, it's interesting and kind of creepy all at the same time, right? This is the world we live in now.
Oh my gosh, I love that. She's clearly a team player too. Gina, are you listening? Greg recently shouted her out on X for their high stakes March Madness bracket challenge alongside Jessica, which sounds like fun. It keeps the midday vibes lively. Oh my gosh.
Did you ever pay up your coffee bet on that, by the way? March Madness? I think you lost that one.
It's like almost time for March Madness again. Nah, we got a while.
That's pretty amazing though. It dug all that up without even putting her last name in.
Wow. Okay, that was cool.
All right, careful, everybody.
Creepy,
if you grok yourself or a friend or a loved one, you never know what you're going to find.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Major news breaking in Jamaica. We are on top of it. The hurricane bearing down on the island. It's not a good scene here. Very scary, frightening scene in the island. We've got that and more coming up in the 1 o'clock hour on WTMJ.